Hello and welcome to another episode of Desi Muscles Talk. Today's episode is all going to be about supplements, whether you should take them or not, and what are the supplements do you really require. So stay tuned. Let's see what happens when you go to the gym. You meet your trainer. The trainer tells you that your diet lacks protein somehow, and then you handed over a box of whey protein or an isolate, and in some cases maybe a soy-based protein, along with a pre-workout, a post-workout, a mid-workout, BCAAs, and you know, all this sounds very convincing, and you're literally sold on the idea that you absolutely need these things, otherwise your whole workout like actually goes to waste. But is it actually true that it happens? Firstly, if you are a professional bodybuilder, a competing athlete, somebody who goes on stage and has to build muscle for a living, you're at the wrong place, because this is a podcast for people who are looking at their lifestyle in general, trying to get fit, trying to get leaner, and looking at a long-term healthy lifestyle. So not for you guys. If you're looking at competing, maybe this is not the podcast for you. I am talking from a standpoint of somebody who wants to get fit, and fitness for them is something that is for their overall health, their longevity, but not for something which is absolutely for aesthetics. So if you were there for that, keep listening. If you're not, maybe it's time you plug out. So let's talk about supplements now. The first supplement I'll talk about is, of course, the protein supplements. You know, the aminos, the protein powders that you need to have within half an hour of your workout. Otherwise, your muscles die. So let's look at that concept first. Firstly, if I look at the amount of protein required by somebody who's doing a moderate to an okay kind of workout. Now, if you work out 5 to 6 days a week, and one and a half hour workout is what you do, I think you fall in the moderately active category. It's still not athlete. So for you, the amount of protein required in a day is about 1.5 times grams of your body weight, which, by the way, is not very difficult if you're a non-vegetarian and you have meat once a day. I think you can easily do the amount of protein that's required for you. And if you are a vegetarian, increasing the amount of natural plant-based protein foods like pulses, dals, nuts, whole grains would actually do that kind of protein requirement that you want. Now, a lot of people have this concept that, you know, you need to have protein to build muscle. Honestly, you have to first understand that building muscle is going to not just require protein, it's also going to require a lot of complex carbs, because that's where you get the energy from. And if you do too much of protein, that protein is also going to be converted into energy, and protein and carbohydrate are almost the same amount of calories. So if you, whether you get your calories from protein or whether you get your calories from carbohydrates, the pathways would be different, but the amount of calorie would be exactly the same. So understand that too much of protein is also going to be converted into, you know, fat eventually if it's not used. So there is only that much amount of protein that you need to take. Thirdly, I think you cannot isolate a food into just protein, just carbohydrate, and just fat. How can you do that? The only way you can do that is if you just isolate the protein and sell it in a box, or if you just do a carbohydrate like sugar, like pure sugar, and just fat is going to be if you consume oil. Otherwise, if you look at any other food product in general, it will always have a mix of all three of them, because by nature that's how things are supposed to be. So if you look at, giving you a very simple example, if you look at whole wheat would have certain amount of fat, whole wheat would have certain amount of carbohydrate, and whole wheat would have certain amount of protein. But what we don't do when we're calculating the total protein intake of the day is that we do not count everything we eat. But if you do count everything you eat throughout the day, most of your protein requirement can be done without any supplements. And now you will have this question that, why am I so against it? Firstly, it's like, you know, consuming a product, isolating something, processing it, adding too many chemicals to it, and then consuming it. I think it doesn't make sense to me. Honestly, I would want to consume something from the source right itself, and I would want to have something which is natural. So yeah, that way I don't think anything sold in a box kind of makes sense to me. Also, if you look at the composition of the protein that you consume, a lot of people will, you know, not frown at anyone consuming protein, but they will frown at somebody having a Diet Coke. So I think they both are kind of the similar things. You're having a protein with a lot of chemical in it. You know, artificial flavoring is there, artificial sugar substitutes are there, which maybe may not be healthy. So understand what you're consuming. And secondly, the question is, are you really in need of it? Do you really need it? So I give this a lot when clients walk up in my clinic and they want to do a weight loss plan. And then I realize that they're eating everything that their body needs. And on top of it, they have protein twice a day. And they ask me that they never lose weight. And the first thing I tell them is, like, lose the protein shake first, because that's also giving you energy, which is getting converted into fat, because you don't need this much protein. So understand these two things. One is your consumption vis-a-vis what you're consuming. The third thing that which makes me kind of go very angry and I'm not very happy about the fact is that supplement industry and nutraceutical industry is not a very regulated one. So even as per FDA, unless you're adding a new ingredient to a product, you don't have to control every batch in terms of the composition, which is kind of a loophole in the system. And what this loophole does is that you can find a lot of people who will be selling something and adding something else to it. I'm not necessarily saying every brand does it, but there is a lot in the market. And understand, this is a $1 billion industry right now. So anyone earning money from it would not want such things to come out. So there are a lot of documentaries which are made on what things go wrong when, you know, you consume these supplements which have substances other than mentioned on the label. But these documentaries get banned, they're not there anymore, and people don't want to come forward and talk about it. But I will talk about something which is my personal experience. About 2 to 3, maybe 4 years ago, I don't really remember the date, but I was not a vegan back then. I have lactose intolerance, so I don't consume whey protein, but somebody suggested that I should try casein, and somebody gave me a box of casein to try out. I was consuming it for a while, and within, say, a month or two, I did notice a lot of change in my body. I mean, I was getting leaner, but I had some side effects going on as well. I was always lightheaded, and I felt drowsy all the time, and, you know, I felt like I'm going to collapse. So I wasn't feeling very good, and then since my family, everyone's a doctor, so I went home. I was talking to my father about it, and he said, okay, let's just figure out what could be wrong. Let's just do a routine test. So when my tests were done, my thyroid was abnormal, and my results indicated that I was suffering from hyperthyroidism, which is unlikely for me, because genetically every female in my family has a tendency to go the other way, which is hypothyroidism. That means I should be making lesser thyroid and I should be gaining weight, but it was happening the opposite way. So my body was producing a lot of thyroid. That was what I thought at that point. And I was actually losing a lot of fat, losing a lot of weight. So I was kind of surprised, and I did a research on what I was consuming. And the only thing that was odd was I was consuming that protein. And when I got that protein tested, that was laced with T3. Now, a lot of people do this so that the person who's consuming it becomes leaner and they get results, because a lot of people consume these protein shakes to kind of lose weight when they're on a weight loss program. So it was giving people results, but it was making them sick. Fortunately, I got detected very early on, and it did not do a permanent damage to me. But had it been someone else, not from a medical background, you can imagine what it could have done. I did go back to the brand saying that there's a problem. Obviously, they never agreed to it, and I'm sorry that the brand is still out there and they're still selling. But yeah, this is just some of the concerns that I feel are there with the supplement industry and need to be addressed. The second most common supplement that I see everyone using is pre-workouts. Now, we all know that that's also not healthy, cannot be healthy, because if something is giving you that high dosage of caffeine or a kick, then it's not really natural. And again, if you look up online, do a real good research, you will find documentaries after documentaries where people have actually died from consuming a pre-workout because, you know, it shot up their blood pressure to roof and, you know, something inside went wrong. There have been instances where people have had a stroke from it. So yeah, those are things that can go wrong when you consume these supplements. Of course, there are other supplements which are now very popular. You know, people are consuming BCAAs and glutamine. And then you have people who are consuming fat burners. Again, fat burners they're also very dangerous. Anytime somebody comes up and says, "Can I consume fat burner for like 3 months and see what it would do to you?" It might do good for 3 months, you might see results, but the damage that would have happened underneath, you won't get to know that maybe for years together, because they also have, there are a couple of routes why what fat burners could actually choose. They could be heavy metals that impair your digestion. They could be metabolic enhancers, which again would play with your blood pressure, so you could have hypertension from them. Then there could be precursors in terms of certain hormones which are there in it. Again, that could do permanent damage to your endocrine system in the long run. So yeah, these are certain things that can go wrong. If you have questions which are very specific to what you can do to avoid these, please go ahead and write to us. I haven't covered everything in detail. This was just a jinx. This was just a gist of what I feel. These are my personal opinions and my personal experiences. If you research it a little closely, you will find that there are a lot of flaws in the industry. I think the best food that you can consume is something that you made yourself from scratch. And that's the best supplement for you, that is healing for you. Do give natural food products a shot. It might not feel right for the first couple of months, but eventually once you make peace with it, you will realize that your health is much better, even though aesthetically you might not be getting the best results. Your health overall would be much better. I hope you like this podcast. We shall see you soon with another topic which concerns health. And till then, stay tuned and stay healthy.